Happy David's birthday, everyone. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
David's going to do the opening prayer tonight.
Very good.
You can do the closing prayer.
Oh, okay.
He's born in 56.
So 54.
54.
Sorry, 54.
So 71, isn't it? Yeah, because 74, 70 last year. Yeah. It must have been.
So this talk that we're going to listen to, I'm going to excerpt it. And for those of you who aren't at our house, you missed the cheesecake that we had, lemon cheesecake in David's honor. So it's from the year 2000 and June 16th. And it's going to take me just a second to get to where I want to start here. And there's about 15 or maybe 20 minutes of kirtan that David leads. That's very nice quality. Mm-hmm. So most of the talks when he's leading chanting aren't really, the sound quality isn't very good, but this one is quite nice. So we'll have quite a bit of chanting tonight too. And so please pray with David. It'll be just a second.
You please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
For
Consciousness again, the blessings, the power, and the light of God is brought with that one. And so the lamp, the light, is offered up to the deity or the supreme being of the universe, and then each person takes that blessing by taking with their hands near the light and washing it over the head or to the third eye point. And so, about that, in commemoration of dedicating this home as a temple, it would be nice to bring that tradition here. During the waving of the light, let us all chant together the Om Shri Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai. or sit in quiet meditation or continue to chant and feel inspired to start.
Thank you.
to on a version of Sri Ram, a tune that Ram gave me years ago when I was driving truck. And I was singing this tune for quite a long while before I realized, you know, I've never heard this tune anywhere before. It somehow came to me. So if you'd like to join me, with me, I can sing it through once. And for me, it comes from the heart. Om Shri Ram Jai.
Om Shri Ram Jai Jai Ram.
Wonderful to come together as a group. There's power in that. There's support, there's upliftment. Certainly there's personalities, and sometimes we rub up against each other. That's all right. That's helping us to develop the divine vision and to work through differences and leading a more impersonal life, in that we see one universal light and consciousness operating in all. It's a strict discipline. It's oftentimes a difficult path. So for us to continue to love one another, support one another, see the light of God within one another, and to have the opportunity to manifest that light ourselves, to go beyond the normal situations of life. You know, Jesus said that don't just love the people who love you and the people who praise you. Even the publicans do that. Go beyond that. When you have difficulties, when there are differences, come together in light and in love and overcome the difficulties, and you will be the beneficiary. So our Maple Ridge group will continue, and this group will continue. And of course, my silent love, my silent blessings will be there. There is no doubt. The words that came to me with this inner direction was from Jesus, saying, "And if I be lifted up, shall lift up all mankind with me." Now, this is a spiritual principle. And that is, each one of us is lifted up in consciousness, we help to uplift the whole. And so the intention is to spend the time in uplifted consciousness and fulfilling whatever God wills. I don't know the whole of it. I only know that this is the injunction. I kept testing the Spirit, that it come to me, this inner injunction. And at the end of some time, another powerful, clear thought came, you must do this. And so, what can I do? I must do it. And so, it will be for the good. And it will be for the betterment. I think about this world. I think about all the energy that runs out towards the world. And so very little is given to the source of who we are and discovering that source. This path is universal. It's true for all mankind. And yet the more we run after this world, it seems the less and less happiness we really find, the less true joy. It's forced. It's always running for greater extremes. So, whatever we can do to reorient the mind of individuals so that they become focused on finding their real joy and happiness within themselves by expanded, perfected consciousness and light, then we will help this world to grow. And it will come into harmony and balance. And as far as things may seem from that today, nevertheless, it is possible. One time God showed me a vision. And you know the way that panic can sweep through a crowd, and suddenly people begin to stampede, and sometimes people are killed and hurt in such situations. And identically, the same way, light can sweep across a world. A wave of light, and the minds and the hearts of individuals are touched, and they are uplifted, and they are changed. And suddenly people go, I can't believe I used to live my life that way. Some people are in that room today. We look back and we think, oh, the way that I used to live. Thank God that I changed. And so for them, that sudden realization, it will seem like what they were living before was false. It didn't have any real appeal to them anymore. And they started out on a brand new journey. Just think of a world where individuals are dedicated towards realizing the light within their own being, towards manifesting that, towards goodness, towards one another. This world could literally be transformed into a heaven on earth. And that isn't even people achieving extraordinary things. It's just simply living up to the light that's already within them. The things they already know to do, but are somehow not doing that. And if we love one another, supported one another, challenged one another to be a living manifestation of that light, what a different world this would be. Think of how the entertainment and the arts would be changed. Think of how conversations every day would be changed, the orientation of businesses and organizations. What a different world this would be, and how lovely. How lovely. And why not? Is it so far? Is it so far from individuals' consciousness to live up to their own light? It's not far. It's sometimes difficult, but it's not far. And it's possible. And so I know that somehow embedded within this inner prompting is contained this desire that this world begin to live up to that light and to begin to manifest it. I don't know in what way. You know, as individuals, we look at ourselves and we say, well, what can I do? Our power is limited. God's power is unlimited. And so it's not of my own will, it's not of my own power, it's not anything to do with this little instrument of God other than how God chooses to use it. A pure materialist would say, oh, what a terrible life. You have no will of your own, you have no life of your own. But that's because they haven't experienced it. That's because they haven't known it. That life has never been more dynamic, more challenging, more lovely, more enthralling, more uplifting. When you become the witness and a dedicated aspirant toward that light. So I ask of you, I pray of you, to continue to aspire toward that light, to give everything every day of yourself toward that light, and you will realize the benefits, the peace, the joy, the innate wisdom, the expansion of consciousness, of which you are an inheritor. It comes to you naturally. It is your birthright. So let us love each other, support each other, and most of all, aspire towards that light with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul and all our strength. And to love our neighbor, because you know that is God coming manifest. That's why the second commandment is like unto the first. Because that is God in human form who has come before us. And not to love him is not to love God. It's something to think about. It doesn't mean being a doormat. But it does mean seeing behind the facade, behind the mask, and seeing the light of spirit and consciousness residing there. And you will know such great happiness, such great peace, that you will scarce believe what is occurring inside of you. One time when I was filled with the Spirit of God, I was walking down the street and everything was shining in that spirit, in that light of God. All the trees, all the bushes, all the people, everything. And I thought to myself, all of this for free? It was really quite something. And the price that we have to pay is merely the price that we ourselves have created. But there is no price for this realization because it is our birthright. It comes to us naturally. It's just that we have created coverings of ignorance and a veil of tears and sorrows between ourselves and that light. And so our sadhana is removing those veils. But once that's revealed, you realize that's who I've always been. I've known, I've been called to something greater. I know there is something more tremendous inside of me. But I couldn't put my finger on it, I couldn't know it. And when you come into that realization, then you know it. Then you know it. And you know who you truly are. And this is the greatest gift, the greatest achievement of all mankind. all other discoveries, all other inventions, all other thoughts are subcategories of that one realization, because everything has come from that spirit and that realization. So to put things in proper perspective, spirit comes first, then thought, then energy, then materiality. But how many live their life that way? So many put material first. And spirit is a distant last if it's there at all. So let us work together to bring ourselves into this consciousness and this spirit, and to realize it within ourselves. You won't become somebody else. You become yourself, your true self, your real self. And you will be mighty glad that you did so.
Amazing to listen to these talks prior to Cloud Mountain and realize that David wasn't in his highest state of consciousness yet. I mean, that evolved each day, his consciousness, but that he grew in the body for another 19 years after this point. And to watch him just come into his fullness from this place. Such a gift.
This was like a week before I met
him. Michelle says this is a week before she met David. Yeah. Anybody wants to share anything? There's about 20 people online, so there's five of us in our little abode here. So, but if anybody wants to speak up, feel free to just unmute yourself and share. I have to, just because I was going to do this before we started, and it's maybe less appropriate now, but it puts David in perspective. Bob sent me a joke the other day, and I thought David would have loved it. He said, "I'm always soaking wet because God is reigning on the throne of my consciousness." I thought, oh, David would have loved that. Good job, Bob. Good pun. He feels so present. I've felt him in his expansive state lately and less his personal consciousness. And they both seem to be here today. Both seem to be very, very present.
All I know is that every day there are little memories that keep repeating themselves in my head from the time that God gifted Rick and I with his holy presence. A lot later than he came into your lives, but I think it was around 2010 he came into ours. But today I was at the kitchen sink and I was remembering again when Rick and I were driving near Moab in Utah, I guess that's what it was. And we didn't know where we were going at all, at all. We knew that David and Carla were in the area, but we had no idea where they were. And we turned onto this road and we just drove. And all of a sudden there was David's RV No. It's just amazing. I just can't get over it. And all the campsites were full, but there was a place right beside David's RV for us. And God arranged it all. He knew that David would need help and Carla would need help at that time. We didn't know it. Not at all. It's just so amazing.
So, first of all, Jill, I want to thank you for taking us back to 2000. And this talk kind of took me back to that time. And one of the things that I remember about that era is from the time David quit his job till when he went to Cloud Mountain, he was very accessible. And he was very much around. He was single and he wasn't working. And you could do things with David. And back in those days, for a lot of that time, he was living out in our garage. And so I'd see David every day. And actually there were, just so you know, his lifestyle back then, he would meditate for many, many, many hours of the day. You know, he would meditate sometimes for 6 hours or more. And so I might just see him briefly, but after Cloud Mountain, things changed fairly quickly. David got married, and when you're married, you want to dedicate a lot of time to your spouse. And you're setting up a household. They lived in different places before they ended up in Mount Vernon. And then towards the last few years of David's life, you know, he told us in emails, he said, you know, I'm becoming more indrawn and it's going to have to be more of Mohammed going to the mountain instead of the mountain going to Mohammed. You know, they used to travel so much and see the different centers. But this, going back to this era here, this sort of 1997 to 2000, David was simultaneously very highly realized and just right there, you know, for any of us. I mean, anybody could have gone out to coffee with him or gone for a walk with him. And I hadn't thought about it until you just put this talk on, but what a sort of a magical time period that was. And so anyway, thanks for going back to this era. It brings back some really wonderful memories.
You know, I found that, that's a song very moving. I remember when he did that, and it didn't strike me the same way then as it does now. It's quite good, isn't it?
I feel like he left it for today.
That's kind of what I'm saying, isn't it? There's something magical about it, yeah.
He's gone back and infused things. I've been conscious of that as I've been going through older things. And I know part of it is the consciousness that we were receiving them at the time. And so, like you and I have discussed, Larry, it's hard to know whether it was as spiritually charged at the time as we're receiving it now. And we're just perhaps more receptive. But I do feel like he's gone, the way one of his techniques that he's taught many of us is to go back and relive an experience and then bring it through in that consciousness all the way to this point. And I feel like there are things that he's done himself that way and really infused that deeper, deeper consciousness, that higher consciousness that he had as he evolved through. Maybe it's something that God just does, but I feel like the way that he demonstrated that to us to do, that he utilized that on different experiences that he's left for us. Mary, when you're ready, you can do the closing prayer, if you would.
Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind
are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Oh. 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 Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Jill, the prayer that David said at the beginning was actually the closing prayer, because I think he may have had that as a discussion after the church, if possible.
It was a house blessing, is what that
called. I mean, was the house blessing done after a service?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So maybe he was doing the closing prayer, but still, that was just so interesting.
Yeah.
As I'm saying the closing prayer now, I'm realizing, yeah, that's the prayer he gave.
Do you guys know whose house it was?
Yeah, it's the Alan Elaine.
Alan Elaine's probably, yeah. But you know, the toilet flushing like that, that's odd. Because that means, you know, their house didn't have they had a big house.
It's Alan Elaine, because the beginning of the talk is. I think it might be when they moved to the apartment.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. You're right. That was the year that Al retired.
Yeah.
I remember that. In that's a good point. September, I mean, June or so. Yeah.
Thank you all for coming and sharing this. I love these more intimate talks of David's that are less formal.
Yeah, it's quite a good talk.
Yeah. I wouldn't have believed that God consciousness was available to us all had I not saw it happen before my own eyes. I was a doubting Thomas before David. Gave me the gift of hope and faith. And so much more.
Hari Om.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, David.
Yes, thank you, David.